Everybody hear me okay?
Father God, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just loving you and praising you, Lord. We just ask that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we can take in your word this morning, Lord, and take it out of here, Lord, and do with it what you would like us to do with it, Lord. Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This sermon isn't going to go where you think it's going to go. We're going to start out one place, but there's going to be a switching of gears at some point. I'm sure you'll recognize when that happens. I don't know how many years ago it was. There was a book called Tale of Two Cities. You guys know that book? That was Dickens, right? They wrote that? Dickens. And the very first line in The Tale of Two Cities is, it was the best of times, and it was the worst of times. Now, isn't that kind of a funny way to begin a book? And really, when you think about it, how can something be the best and something be the worst? And yet that is really true. It's a paradox, isn't it? And it's true. There are things that can be happening that are really good things that are going on, and yet there can be bad things also happening around you. Good things can happen inside us, even though there's bad things going on around us, is where I'm taking this first part. What's that? Thank goodness. And I think this is really an important thing. And it was mentioned that our leaders need prayer so much. The situations that are going on in this world, if you focus just on them, it is the worst of times. Don't you think? Yep. It is the worst of times, not only for other people in the world. The persecution of Christians is really tremendously on the rise. I heard that. You see some things. You saw what ISIS did with what they're doing, and other things that are going on in the world, and you get a little bit of a picture, but it is really bad. I started going to some sites, and the amount of persecutions and the intensity of it, and just the utter inhumanity of some of the things that they do to the Christians, it's beyond you. And you look at all of that and go, man, it's the worst of times, and fear can come in, and discouragement, and all kinds of things can happen, and you can see what's happening in our country, and though we aren't in a place of overt, physical, hard persecution, there's still things that are beginning to happen in our country that could open, a door could be opened that could cause some problems. And I think anybody with any kind of prudence can see that could be down the line if people don't speak up, if people aren't careful, and especially if our country, the nation as a whole, continues to not really care for the Lord the way they need to, and just keep going their own way. It's just what's happening. And it was mentioned at the beginning here, Lainey was talking about these movies, and so was Reggie, but you even movies that are about the Bible or about the Lord or whatever, you do have to look at those things. and see what's true and what isn't true about it. One of the things that we are facing is that we are being flooded with lies in this world. You know, Jesus said that when he was asked about the time of his coming, the very first thing he says is, "See that you are not deceived." Which means there's all kinds of lies that are going to be spewed out. All kinds of lies. Little tiny twists in the truth. You know? And even these movies could do that. Couldn't they? So these are things that I think we want to really be careful about. There's good things. There's bad things. And hopefully, the bad that is going on around us is going to produce inside of us that which is good. We've got to be very careful that we don't become discouraged with this, with what's happening. God is God, and God will be God to us, won't he?
Yes.
And that's really important. We need to hear that. I want to get to a couple important things here. I'm going to take us, I think, first to Isaiah chapter 47. So if you'll go there. Would you all agree with me that the possibility for our country is revival or judgment? Would you say that there's not too much in between? If there's a revival, if people turn their hearts back to God, there's a possibility for our nation to find the best of times in the worst of times. But if this nation doesn't, it really could be a much worse situation that we will go through, right? Now, let me read you what it says. This is a prophecy against Babylon. But I don't think there's probably too many people here who haven't heard it said by numerous Bible expositors and prophets, the modern day prophets, who have said the United States is a modern day Babylon. Mm-hmm. Have you heard that?
Yes.
You know? So even though this is directed by Isaiah to Babylon, remember that there are things that are said to particular nations, to particular people, to the Jews, and yet could have particular application to the church, to you as an individual, you know, because all of these words have application and have some kind of a meaning that we can all get out of this, even though it's directed to somebody else, right?
Yeah.
The word is eternal, and the word has life, and the word can means something for everybody, doesn't it? So listen to what it says here. In the context that the United States, in many, many ways, is the modern day Babylon. Therefore, this is verse 8. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures. Okay, getting this? That dwell carelessly. That say in your heart, I am, and there's none else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. That's a little bit of a scary thing. Yeah? That's not the best of times. loss of children, loss of the husband. But he says these two things are going to come to you in a moment, in a day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon you in their perfection for the multitude of your sorceries. In other words, it's not just going to be in a little measure. It's going to be into a perfect measure. That is some really tough talking. That's getting a forearm shiver from the Lord, isn't it? And the reason for it is because of all the different ways that they've turned aside from God and taken a hold of falsehood. Right? And for the great abundance of your enchantments, for thou hast trusted in your wickedness and have said, nobody sees me. Huh? Nobody's seen me do this. Hey, I'm getting away with this. And lots of times, you know, when you get away with something in your mind, in your thoughts, actions, and you don't get brought up short, you think, oh, God doesn't care that I'm doing this. Huh? We can fool ourselves in thinking that we can just continue in something, even though we know it's not really the right thing, but hey, God's not judging me, so I guess it's okay. Nobody sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it has perverted you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is nobody like me. Therefore shall evil come upon you. You will not know from where it rises. You're not going to know from where it rises. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like terrorism. That sounds to me like it's going to happen very stealthily. Do you know that ISIS has had sleeper cells in every single state of this country? You guys know that? There's sleeper cells in every single state. Now, I'm not saying this to get you afraid. I'm trying to say that there is evil and it's abounding and it's not a good day to be living. But it can be a good day for us. We still can rest in the Lord. But we have to know that this is what's going on. We cannot be people that put our heads in the sand. Verse 11. I'll read it again. Therefore, shall evil come upon you, you will not know from where it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you, you will not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. And it goes on. I'm going to stop there for a minute. This is what could happen. Could happen. Now, you might love, you know, these are just prophecies, and it's about somebody else, and it has nothing to do with us. But, you know, I think that you can see that these very things happened to Israel because of the attitude of their heart. These very things, then, could happen in the very same way to America if it has the same kind of heart. Isn't that right? Or the Babylonians, not the Jews. Because of their hearts. And there's something wrong in America. This great country. Love this country. But there's some rottenness there. Amen? We know that this is true.
Now, you're thinking I'm going down a certain path, but I'm not going to be. All right, so I want us to realize that along with hearing this, that I also want to read you these other verses. That this is Psalm 27, verse 5. It says, For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He will set me upon a rock. Oh, that's nice news, isn't it? You know, we like that. In Psalm 31, verses 19 and 20. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear thee, which you have wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You will hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. So now we can get a little bit, we can feel a little more encouraged, can't we? No, we can?
Yes.
Now, where was that?
The second one was Psalm 31, 19 and 20. Okay? Now, Jesus said that all of these... When asked about the time of his coming, he was saying, you know, very first thing he says, you know, watch out that you don't get deceived. And that means there's lots of lies going on. You know, lots of lies. Lots of lies to your head. The scripture says that at the end of the age that Satan is going to spew out of his mouth a flood of lies. Mm-hmm. A flood to just take people away. And there's another scripture in Isaiah 28, I don't remember the verse, but it says that people take lies as a refuge. They'd rather hear a good lie than know what the truth is. Isn't that amazing? It says that they make lies their refuge. And this is very important for people that are living at the end of the age, not to hold on to lies just because it makes them feel more comfortable. Because those lies catch up.
It's in the second part of Isaiah 28:15.
28:15, is it? Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right. So
there's all these lies going on. You see the lies in politics. You know that you, as an individual, have lies flooding you all the time about who you are, how good you are, how bad you are, how this and how that, and. We're flooded. Last week we were talking about being able to separate those things out and being able to have a good sound mind about what's coming at your head. We rehearsed what we had talked about before about, you know, thinking about what you're thinking. You know, this is so important. I guess the Lord just wants to bring this up again.
Now it says. I'm going to have you go I'll go to this. Romans chapter 16. Go to Romans 16. Last chapter of Romans.
And it says in Romans 16, I'm going to read starting in verse 18. Talking about people that cause divisions and offenses contrary to doctrine. And then verse 18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And listen to this, by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." They're not saying bad things. We can even be deceived by people saying good things. Is that right?
Yeah.
So we get to the place where, let me finish reading this.
So verse 19 says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and innocent concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you."
Amen.
This came up the other day. How discerning are we? How do we discern what's from the Holy Spirit and what isn't? Yeah? How can you tell the lie from the truth? Huh? Yeah. How do we know this? Now,
I'm going to go down through a couple things. And we're going to start with maybe some general a general statement. First of all, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking, He is going to be speaking truth. Right? He's not going to be speaking falsehood. And so this is why we need to know, is this the Holy Spirit speaking to me? Is this the Holy Spirit leading me to go in this direction? Is this the Holy Spirit that I sense moving on my heart right now? Right?
Right. Yeah.
So because the Holy Spirit is only going to speak truth to your mind. The Holy Spirit is only going to give you that sense of truth and peace in your heart. Not a false peace. We like to hear good things, smooth things, because it makes us feel relaxed and not provoked unto love and good deeds. We can just keep going the way we're going, you know. I'm not talking about that kind of peace. I'm talking about that deep peace that you know. That peace that passes understanding, right? You understand what I'm talking about. So, we seek truth because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, right? And so we want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. What I'm going to say here isn't going to mean anything if you don't really love the truth. You know that? If you don't really care about the truth. And you and I need to think about this. Okay, we're going to go to John chapter 8.
I saw Kelly back there holding up her Bible, and this would be the main thing that we would say to anybody, I think. John chapter 8.
Says this, John 8:31. "And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word," right? Mm-hmm. "Then you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, how are we going to recognize whether the Spirit of God is speaking to us? We need to be people. See, this doesn't just happen just all of a sudden. We're going to be able to recognize whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. We have to be people that are reading this word, continuing in this word, which means you're living by it. And when that, and the more that Satan spews out of his mouth the lies, the more that we need to make sure that we're holding on to this. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And it says, that if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. In other words, in truth, you actually are my disciples. Not just believers, but disciples, right? And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Here's another way. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. You know, there are some things that happen in your life, the decisions that you have to make, and you want to know whether it's the Spirit moving you or not. And you don't necessarily have it spelled out for you. Should I take this job? Should I move to such and such a place? You know, that kind of thing. How should I react in this situation? What do I say to that person in that situation? Sometimes it's not all perfectly spelled out right here. Isn't that right? And so we look to this, but there are things that that come outside of this. Not really outside of it, but you're not going to find the exact words that say exactly what to do right here. Okay? And so, if you look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, this is what it says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Sometimes we don't even ask. Something happens, and we're trying to figure it all out with our own mind. Right? You know, it's really good if we are in the habit of asking God first and then ask Him fill in the thoughts the way it needs to be. You know, every time we have an elders meeting, a leadership meeting, one of the first things that we say is for the Holy Spirit to lead us in our thoughts. And if our own minds are playing into something, that the Holy Spirit turn it and take it in the right direction.
I got right? Into the song this morning. On the,
Right. Right.
Ask and
you get an answer. Sometimes you get it quickly, and sometimes you don't. But it's funny that something as simple as this, a lot of times we don't do it. We want to hear the Holy Spirit, and we don't ask Him for the direction that we need. Or, here's a little bit of a separate thing. Or, we ask, but we don't really think we're going to get an answer. Or, we ask, and it's too perfunctory. And we're not really listening afterwards.
Yeah.
You know? Or you think you already have an answer. And you're not really listening because your own mind is controlling where those thoughts are going to take you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
The things that we're talking about today are very nitty-gritty things that are important in our every single day walk with God. And these are basic things that we really got to really get nailed down and moving in a much stronger way, because I see floods and floods of the enemy working on every single one of our minds to divide us from each other, to make you discouraged about who you are as a person, to put you off into some kind of corner. You know? It's happening all around the world like that. So, ask, and it will be given to you. It's not a coincidence that this next word is right there, right in back of ask. Seek, and you will find. Now,
I think
that when I'm looking to find the truth about something, I better make sure that when the Lord makes something, presents something to me, that I still am seeking. I mean, how do I know it's the Lord or not? You know, when something happens, or somebody's saying something to you, and sometimes you can get a, I don't like what he's saying. You kind of get a check in your spirit. You get a hesitation. Is that right? I don't know if that's right. You know? And so you kind of hold back. When you get that, you can't allow that to be as far as you think about, is this the Lord or not? Same thing if you have what we call a witness about something. You know, somebody's talking and you go, oh yeah, you know, I feel good about what you're saying there. That sounds right. Even with that, on the other end, we still should be seeking to make sure that the direction that our mind is taking us is the Lord. We can be too casual, too quick to have a quick answer. Oh, I got a bad feeling about that, and not pursue with the Lord to see if it is the Lord or not, or if something is really good. That you don't allow your mind, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to get more of a understanding and grounding in what the Lord is trying to tell you to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's enough
heads shaking there. So,
let's see if there's. Oh yeah. So this leads me to go to this thing. We need to ask questions of the Lord. How do you seek? If you're seeking the Lord, what is that? Some general just kind of waiting to see his face in the clouds? Is it waiting to hear some kind of audible voice? Is it when you're seeking an answer from God, what are we actually doing? You know,
there's a completeness to it. There's a completeness to it. You're not only asking, you're praying.
Yeah.
You're
also listening
and being aware,
yes,
of what's going on around you, who's saying what. Everything gets taken into consideration,
yes,
all at the same time. It can't be just one piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. I got that all. All that you said, I have it out there. So, amen. You know, this is exactly right. It isn't any one piece that all it has to come together in this. And it's very important that I think, you know, if we're just kind of like waiting on the Lord, okay, doesn't necessarily mean that you're just a passive, you know, gee whiz, when's the Lord going to say something to me? I can't hear you. Don't we find ourselves like that sometimes? You know, we want this to come from the Lord, and we're expecting some kind of audible voice, or we're expecting, I don't know what, you know, to have some grand vision. And then we'll know, and then we can do what the Lord wants us to do, you know. I think that we need to ask questions. That gets the connection going. When you ask the Lord questions, well, Lord, I felt a check in my spirit about such and such. So, am I thinking correctly? There's a question, right? Or if you feel like you want to do something, you know, you go, I'm the kind of guy, you get something in your mind and then you just want to rush right into it, right? And, you know, you gotta make sure that you're really hearing from the Lord about things. So it's very, very important to ask questions. That's part of the seeking process, right? You can ask a question like, well, God, would you have my wife say something this morning that's gonna, you know, make a connection that's gonna put me in the right place and the way I'm thinking about something? Or when I come to church today, Lord, would you confirm what I'm thinking by having, you know, somebody say something about this particular thing? You're getting something in motion, right? If you don't ask those questions, if you don't present something to the Lord, you're just kind of drifting. Aren't you?
Yeah.
I think a lot of Christians, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're drifting and bumping into possible answers when it's very important for us to get the movement toward God. He'll straighten us out. He'll get us in the right spot. You know, but we need to be seeking. If we're not seeking, how are we going to find anything? Mm-hmm. Right, Joe, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, like a lot of times you'll pray to God, you ask God for guidance, and sometimes your mind says that God told me it's okay to do it, and then when something happens that it shouldn't have, you get mad at God. Well, why'd you tell me to do this?
Yeah, right.
Why'd you let me do this? You know, and it's
right.
And I know a lot of people that go through that.
Yes.
And you know, I tell them all, just keep praying. God will give you peace about what you're supposed to do. If you don't have peace, you're not supposed to do it. If it's going to hurt you, it's not from God.
And the door might close. The door might close at that time.
Right.
He may say it's not. He may close the door, but that doesn't mean you stop seeking
right.
and searching.
Right.
You keep seeking and searching, and then that door might open at a later time when things are more appropriate for things to happen.
Yes.
You know? And I think that's what we do, is as soon as that door closes, we're like, oh, God doesn't want me to do that, so off we go in a different world, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's not necessarily true. That may be true, because the door will keep closing over and over again.
But if you're not continuing to ask questions,
right.
if you're not continuing a pursuit of getting an answer so that you know, it's really right there in you. We tend to think we know sometimes. And isn't this I think this is a sad commentary in a way, that the people of God, who are the pillar and ground of truth, lots of times don't know what the truth is. In terms of everyday life, moving in the Spirit, with being led by the Spirit of God. If we're led by the Spirit of God, then we're being led into the truth of things. We're going in the right direction. We're not listening to the lies. Right? So how important is that for you and I to be so led by the Spirit of God that we aren't going off in some other direction? And we will, because we're human, and but we learn. That's one of the other things that I have down here on this list, is the fact that, you know, sometimes when we've pursued and we're still not quite sure, sometimes it gets to a place where you have to make a decision, and so you make a decision. And then that decision is going to play out
right.
with a particular consequence.
Right.
And then we can learn from the consequence. Oh, I guess that wasn't the Lord. We've had some of those things happen. I know that there's been some big things that have happened in my life, in the life of the church government, where we made some wrong decisions. But we found, and God was gracious, God was wonderful, He covered situations, but we saw, we learned, hopefully, that, okay, if we go down that road, this is what's going to happen. Because the last two times we went down that road, the exact same thing happened. You get it? So, you learn sometimes when you're not sure, you make a decision, and then you learn from the decision, whether it was a good one or whether it isn't. So sometimes that's the way that God needs to bring us, so that we get to understand His voice from our own thoughts about things. Is that true? You guys have all experienced this.
We're just saying things. I knew this was something that all you guys know, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to bring it up. So, so this whole thing about asking questions and getting down to the root of things, getting down to the making sure that we really do have a broad understanding of that word. What this actually is doing is making us wise. When you ask a lot of questions, you're going to end up being wiser at the end of all of that, you know, than you would if you wouldn't have been doing that. You know, you're going to be wiser. Let me bring you to a couple of scriptures that I thought was kind of interesting in the pursuit of this. If you go to... I thought this was really interesting. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes. So right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is what's really interesting, and it was... Somebody had talked about this very thing. Okay? So, Ecclesiastes 8, and we're going to read so that we can get that up on the screen for people. Verse 5. Okay? Ecclesiastes 8, 5.
Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Now, isn't that something? The more that you continue to pursue something with questions, and like Reggie was saying, and that was my next point, not only questions, but prayer. Okay? Prayer, beseeching God. God, I need to know this. I desire that you show me this. I humble myself before you, Lord. This is an important thing in my life, I feel. And if it isn't, show me that it is. You pray and you ask questions, and you need both of those things happening so that you can actually get to the place that you want to, you know, you need to get to. The truth. The truth, right? This is what it says. A wise man's heart can discern both time and judgment. Oh my goodness. You can understand, you can judge something correctly, and you can actually get the timing of it. I like that, because lots of times I think I'm off on the timing. You know, people are looking, is this a time for something? Well, I better ask more questions, because I'm not quite sure. You know, Steve had his hand up on it.
As we walk through this life, and as we mature as Christians, shouldn't all this be natural? Like every time?
It should be. That's what I'm saying. It's a pity that we're,
on paper, it's, yeah, it's natural.
But that's a good point to say. You know, we probably, as a group of people, as individuals, individual Christians, should be further along than what we are. But we are where we're at. And God knows this. He loves us. He's there. And this is why we get words like this. To remind us, to provoke us, to say, hey, come on, get on the stick here. You're not asking enough. You're not seeking enough. And I'll bet you, if we're all really honest, we don't seek as much as we should. We don't ask as much as we should. And in our asking, lots of times, there might not be enough faith, even in our asking. Shouldn't we be beyond this? See, like Steve said. You know, we should be. But we're not. And so, God loves us. He's pouring out His Spirit to bring us along in the right way. Kathy, you want to say something and then Dan?
Well, I'm reading from the New Living Testament this morning.
Yeah.
And that scripture says, those who obey Him will not be punished. Those who are wise will find a time and a way to do what is right. Which is, instead of the judgment there,
yes,
translated as
a way
to do what is right. For there is a time and a way for everything, even when a person is in trouble.
Mm. Wow, that's excellent. Dan?
What I get to say is going to go right with that, because the first part was, if we seek Him, right? Is that what you first said? We seek Him? Mm-hmm. Obey Him? Obey Him.
Yeah.
Obey Him.
Okay. Well, we are always seeking for something.
Yeah.
We always seek for something, whether if it's God or something else. But we always seek what we love. If we truly love God, we'll seek Him. If we truly love God, we'll obey Him.
Right. Right. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm reading from the Amplified version. It says, whoever observes the command will experience no harm, and a wise man's mind will know both when and what to do.
When and what to
when
do.
And what to do. Yeah. And then a little life point. I love these little life points. If we seek God only when we are desperate, then He will keep us in desperate circumstances. Because He deeply desires to fellowship with us.
Right.
And God will rescue us and get us out of trouble when we come to Him. But according to Ecclesiastes 8:12, if we want to stay in a place of constant victory, we must diligently seek Him at all times.
Yes.
And desire to experience His continual presence in our everyday lives. We must never forget that relationship is built on fellowship.
Yes.
Wow.
That's amazing. This is such a point that needed to be made. Is the fact that God wants that fellowship, and if the only way that we ever seek Him is bad situations, He'll allow for the bad situations so that we will go and seek Him.
Right.
You know, isn't that funny? You know,
and sometimes once we get a partial solution, we're satisfied with that and don't keep seeking
thing.
Him. And I think that may be the knocking part too.
Yes.
Just to keep knocking.
Yeah. Ask and keep on asking. Yeah. Seek and keep on seeking. That's the tense of the verb.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that in there, but the tense of the verb, the Greek word is that we're to ask and keep on asking. Mm-hmm. We're to seek and keep on seeking. And we're to knock and keep on knocking. So there's a pursuit here, isn't there? Mm-hmm. There's a pursuit of God. That's very, very important. We're not going to get to the end of things without doing that. Right? Somebody else had a hand up. Yeah, this other thing that Kathy just mentioned about we get a partial answer to something and we get satisfied. Not even realizing that there's more to the story. There's more that God wants to fill in your life, and you don't even realize it because we've only prayed up a certain place. We've only asked to a certain place. You know. I like this word. God is getting us to be circumspect, which is another word for prudence, which is another word for wise, where we consider everything in a situation. We don't just get some little piece of something, we pursue something to the end. And our flesh wants to say, that takes too much time. I'm not going to sit there and think. Think about that. Think about what you're thinking when that happens. I don't want to think any more than I have to. I mean, is it not how it is when you're in school? Please, please, I don't want to. My brain can't handle this. This is too much knowledge for me. You know? I do feel that way about some subjects.
We're to wait on the Lord.
Yeah, and the word to wait on the Lord,
I think because of the English language there, wait means, in our minds,
just hang up.
Back it up, tap the fingers, wait, let's wait, I'm waiting on the Lord.
Something's going to happen.
You know? And here, waiting actually means to attend to. You know, a waiter. A waiter at a restaurant. They're waiting on you. That's the real concept about waiting on the Lord, is that you're not waiting, well, in a sense you do, waiting for the Lord, because you have to be patient to get the answer. But you're not passive in the process of that.
Right.
Waiting on the Lord requires you to ask, to seek, to knock. That's what it requires, a pursuit of the Lord. You're attending unto the Lord to get to the truth of something.
Right.
Yeah. This
is long, but the end of it says, when I ask the Lord for something, and that thing come to my mind or heart again later, I talk to him about it again, but when I do, I try to refrain from asking him the same thing as if he did not hear me the first time. I believe we honor God when we demonstrate faith and persistence by thanking him for hearing and answering us. In Matthew 7:7, it says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Because that's what my version said, is keep on.
Yes.
We should be persistent, but not repetitious in prayer.
Yes.
Keep pressing on and do not give up, and keep expressing your faith and gratitude for God for answering.
Hallelujah.
So there's that line between seek, and driving crazy because, yes, he's already heard us, and trusting he's heard us.
Yeah. He is an individual. God is an individual. He's a being. And we wouldn't say the same thing over and over and over again to somebody else, to your wife, to your husband. You know you're just going to bother the heck out of them.
That's right. Yeah.
You know? I don't know how many times Kathy said, I heard you the first time. Right? God's heard us the first time. But as we pursue something, there's more to think about. That gets you to be a little bit more thinking about the situation, and in the process of us thinking, even on how to frame a question to God, sometimes we get some answers to, because we're thinking about some other nuance or some other aspect of the situation that comes to our minds. I don't know how many times that's happened to me.
I think when you're just going from a physical therapy standpoint, just like, you know, and pain, I mean, pain is like a big motivator for people, right?
Yes.
It's like, if you have pain, you always ask. So everybody wants to ask God, you know, hey, you know, can you get rid of my pain, right? I mean, that's the prayer, is can you get rid of my pain? But a lot of, if you're really seeking and pursuing, what you should ask God is, show me where I need to change so I can help my pain and get rid of the pain, or sometimes you have to go a little bit deeper than just, can you get rid of my pain? You got to show me the way to get rid of the pain. What can I do for myself to allow myself to help this situation or so? So, but we don't want to do that because that requires more effort,
yes,
more time. We just want the quick, God, get rid of my pain, and boom, pain's gone.
Yeah.
But sometimes even when we ask that, he'll tell us, okay, you need to do A, B, C, and D. but we don't want to do that because of the time and effort. So we'd rather just have it. So we ignore that part of it, and we keep pursuing the same question, like we said, can you get rid of my pain? And then people will say, well, how come my pain isn't gone? How come my pain isn't gone? Because you're not pursuing the avenue that God wants you to go, or your physical therapist wants you to go, or whatever, you know. So.
That's excellent. Okay. Last scripture, Isaiah chapter 50. Now remember in John 8, verse 32, well, 31 and 32, it says that if we continue in his word, then we are his disciples, right? And because we're his disciples, because we keep going to him, sitting at the feet of the master, listening to what the Holy Spirit says, right? This listening, pursuing, wanting to know the truth, loving the truth. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5 says this, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakes morning by morning. He wakes my ear to listen as a disciple." Now isn't that's it, isn't it? It's good to start out, finish with this, it's good to start out the day on the right foot. He wakens me morning by morning to listen as a disciple. Wow, that's really pretty cool. And again, it's a discipline. And we don't like to hear that kind of stuff. We just want it to be easy. We just want it to be automatic. And it's not, it isn't that way. But it is like with sports, like with Steve Sam. You know, after we put ourselves into it and desire it with all of our heart and we get into that habit rather than the other habit, it becomes something that does become more automatic. It does become easier to hear when you discipline yourself to hear. You discipline yourself to ask questions of the Lord. You discipline your mind to have a sound mind by thinking about everything that's involved in a particular situation. You know?
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of want to add to what Reggie was saying too about pain. That a lot of times, like I'm taking this from a worldly perspective, but you go to the medical people and they say, well, we're going to do pain management with you, which means they're going to put you on some pain medication to hide the problem. Whereas, like in my case with my back, I want to find out what's causing the problem and deal with the problem instead of masking it.
Right.
And I think sometimes we do that spiritually too. We want God to take away the pain, like Reggie said, but there is a process we have to go through to eliminate that.
You want the Band-Aid, you want the drug, but it never gets to the real root of the other thing, and that's what's important for all of us.
As we say, sometimes though the pain is part of the process for whatever He wants for us.
Yep.
And learning on suffering, learning lots of things, and sometimes, and even in medical, sometimes there's no cure for the pain, and you have to learn to deal with
to
handle it.
Yes.
I think also sometimes the pain we go through isn't necessarily for us, but for people around us. And I can say I had an example with my oldest son. He was, it was 2008. He worked security, and he was at a bar working the bar. Thank God, he's at a dealer. He's still doing security because he's starting his business. But he got I get a phone call the next morning. It was in the middle of the night. His son's in the hospital. Kowloon. I called the school. Gotta get him out of school. We gotta go. I left with Kowloon. He had been shot 3 times. He went to the car of the owner, and they confused him with the owner of the bar, and they shot him both ways. Got shot 3 times. I got there, mom takes over because, of course, his mother. So he was fine. So. and come home without a motorcycle to the next, because he still didn't have the strength in his leg. Of course, he never got in a motorcycle again, so. But he had to get close to God, because at that point, I couldn't go again, because Raul had missed almost a month of school, and we had gone to so many expenses with him, with what happened to him. And I, at that point, I said, well, I just can't go, and now this is irresponsible. Yeah. And so, but he did tell me I had to go back and search the Lord, because I was alone. He didn't have mommy to come over again and take care of everything. So sometimes, and it broke my heart, and it broke me. Because I think it hurts us more when it's our children than it's with us.
You got that, right?
Yeah. But, and I think we tend to do that sometimes. We take over so much that we are taking away the lesson, too.
You have to let people go through some of those things. And it is hard when it's our children that we have to let them through. Anybody else?
Amen. Well, Lord, we ask that you give us ears to hear, that we would be good listeners, Lord, and that in listening and waiting on you, Lord, that we're not casual in our pursuit of truth. Lord, that we... That we're circumspect, that we think things through by asking your Holy Spirit, but that we know, Lord, that we are to think and allow us to reason through situations by your Spirit, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would be people who ask and keep on asking and seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking, Lord, that we would pursue you and know the truth and be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to point out something, too. There was, when I was asking the Lord about the message today, I could have gone two different directions, and I wasn't quite, isn't it funny, you know, that I get a message like this, and I wasn't quite sure which way I was supposed to go with it. And at the beginning, I was wondering where the Lord was going to take the turn. And take me down one avenue or the other, and he made it very, very clear which way I was finally where I was supposed to go in it. I'm just confessing this to you. I was having to go through the very thing I was talking to you about. Why